Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come. Checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
That's the best thing for Joey Logano, is to see that side-by-side battle in his mirror. White flag.
Take a right front flat on Mark Truex Jr.
Wow, how about the job? Ricky Stenhouse Jr., what a great job. Second place right here. It's going to be an awesome finish for them.
Close as he can get to Joey Logano. Stenhouse sends it in, but Logano is going to win the dirt race at Bristol.
How about that?
How about that? Welcome in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app, thegamenashville.com. You can also watch on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, all of those great things. Chase McCabe here with you on a Saturday morning, and I am live and in studio today. Nice to be here with the good captain, Captain Kurt. Behind the glass. It's been a long time since I've seen you, so good to be here. And what a weekend it was at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Let's start with feeling sorry for me a little bit. I knew that the weather could be an issue. I knew that going in. I had found out earlier in the week that I had been approved for a credential, and so I booked a hotel. I'm like, I'm gonna be there. As the weather started to develop, I'm like, okay, this is iffy. This could not be good. And at that point, on Saturday morning when I woke up, because my plan was I was going to get up early. I had recorded the show, so the show was ready to go. I know that's crazy. Not everything's live. But I had recorded the show, and I was going to get in the car and head up there. Well, obviously the storms were rolling through, and weather was not good here in Nashville, and it was headed that way. So I waited a little bit and, you know, left later than I had really intended, and it followed me all the way there. I literally pulled up to the racetrack. It's right in front of me. I pulled up. I stopped. And I see all these people walking out, and I go, well, this isn't good. That is never good. And I had been listening to Sirius XM, to Claire B. Lang. They do a fantastic job. They were keeping everybody abreast of the situation. The trucks had run one lap of the heat races and before they called that. And so I'm keeping up on Twitter. But obviously traffic was bad, and when I got there, I looked at Bob Pockrass' tweet from Fox Sports that they had canceled everything that night. So I'm like, all right, go to dinner. And just hope and pray that I'm going to wake up the next morning. And I knew the rain was coming, but, you know, that it would clear out enough for them to get it in that day. By the time I got done with breakfast, they had made the call to move it to Monday. And with my midday show duties, I had to pull the ripcord, as Darren McFarland says, and headed back to Nashville. So I watched on TV like everybody else. I knew the risks. But when you love something as much as I love racing, you want to chase a dream. Sometimes risk, that's part of the game. So, but I'm here to recap everything for you, as we always do, so we'll get after it. Going into the weekend, if you remember, in Sunday Money Chain, I changed Sunday Money from Saturday to Monday. So it went from Sunday Money to Monday Money because of practice and just looking at some things. You know, I thought Kyle Larson was going to run away with this thing. I thought Kyle Larson and Stuart Friesen were going to be the ones to watch in the truck race. And then I thought that maybe Friesen would have something in the cup race. Didn't know about the equipment, but I knew Larson, Christopher Bell, the dirt racing experts would be the ones to do it. Boy, was I wrong. And we all were wrong. Martin Truex Jr. dominates, absolutely dominates the truck race. Like, it wasn't even close. Dominates the truck race. Never, you know, he didn't run dirt. He was not a dirt expert. I think he might have done one of Tony Stewart's Prelude to the Dreams at Eldora a few years back when they used to do that with the modifieds. But he dominates that, starts off the cup race in dominant fashion. But ultimately, it's Joey Logano being the one to win the first ever dirt race at Bristol Motor Speedway, the first Cup Series dirt race in over 50 years. Joey Logano is not a dirt expert. In fact, he was on Darren Donick and Chase about a month ago. He said he'd gone to Volusia down when they were in Daytona to run the modified and to get some experience on dirt. He was in the simulator. And a lot of these drivers that didn't have the dirt experience credited iRacing and how realistic it was and the sim for getting them ready for this. So that's amazing that they have that type of technology to be able to use that. But Joey Logano ends up being the one, his first win of the season, and he talked about it after the race.
Yeah, to be the first team to be able to win on dirt in the Cup Series, in 50 years or so, that's something that I'm very proud of. Very proud of this team, because this weekend, coming into the week, you just don't know, right? I said that's the phrase of the week. I don't know coming into this, and you didn't know what you had to work on in your car. You didn't know how the race is going to play out. You don't know how the track's going to change, and it's just watching and studying and getting in a dirt car for a few races and in Volusia and running a heat race here a week ago. So all that kind of helped out and played out for us.
There you go, Joey Logano, and it did. And there were so many unknowns to this weekend, and I think everybody knew that going in, but you didn't know how much the unknowns would really play a factor, and it did. But it also made it exciting. It made it fun. I think everybody really enjoyed that part of the of knowing the unknowns and or not knowing the unknowns. And then somebody like Logano, that I looked before that race on BetMGM, he was plus 5,000 to win the race. So if you took that bet, you made a nice little profit on Joey Logano. And Joey Logano is always typically one of the favorites every weekend, as we know. And Vegas had a hard time handicapping it, which was great. So it gave us everything that we expected. It gave us, and that was the unexpected. And that was the best part of it all. Was that. So Joey Logano, as we said, gets that win, his first of the season. Let's take a look at the finishing order, the top 10 in this one. Joey Logano led 61 laps in the win. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who is a dirt expert, definitely had a good run, coming home second. Denny Hamlin led only one lap. He finishes third. Tried the move there at the end. It wasn't enough. The story of the day, which we will get into, leading 58 laps, Daniel Suarez. I believe I read that's the most he's ever led in one race. He had going into this weekend in his career, he had led 200 something laps, I think, total in his career for Trackhouse Racing, which is a new team. Justin Marks and Pitbull are the owners of that. So he finishes fourth. Ryan Newman spins out early in the day, finishes fifth. William Byron sixth. Tyler Reddick comes home seventh. Ryan Blaney eighth, Eric Jones ninth, and Chase Elliott, the defending Cup Series champion, comes home 10th. So that is the top 10 from this weekend at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was very complimentary of the crew, the track crew, and all the work that they had to do over the weekend, because dirt does become mud once it gets wet, and it was very saturated throughout the weekend. But he said that the crew did an amazing job getting the track ready.
Steve and the boys did a great job. Obviously, I watched every race last week, and they did a great job with all the race cars on the racetrack, knowing that they had to prep the track a little different for our race cars. Obviously, you can't have it wet with the cars overheating and our grill screens and windshields and things like that. So they prepped the track to the best of their ability. Obviously, all the rain didn't help, and they reacted and did stuff as best they could, and came out here last night just to check out the track and kind of talk to them about what they were going to do between the stages and the competition cautions, and I think they did a great job. May have got a little bit behind there, when we started running single file, all the dust just set in that second lane, and so I was one advocating for single file restarts, and I felt like you know, NASCAR did a great job adapting to that because, you know, like Steve O'Donnell said, that's things that you see in dirt racing when track conditions just change and kind of out of your control at that point. But I think it made the racing better and a lot better there at the end. So, you know, hats off to everybody at NASCAR and everybody on the track crew.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. talking about the track and the conditions there. Yeah, that was one thing that was new to a lot of people. And I know I had some interaction with people on Twitter that didn't quite understand the single moving to single file restarts. Because if you go back to, I want to say it was 2004 when Dale Jarrett had the spin, and that's when they added the lucky dog rule and not racing back to the caution. And then soon after that, they added, you know, going to double file restarts. And on, you know, usually it was at the beginning of the race was the only time they were double file with lap leaders. And then you'd put the lap down cars on the outside. They changed all that. They moved to single file during this race because of the dust. It was getting very dusty, very hard to see. The sun coming down through it made it difficult. And so that's a typical dirt racing rule that they do that. And something else to consider, that dirt races usually don't have that much racing on them in one day. You had two races that you had to get in. You had to have the truck race and you had to have the cup race. And so would the track hold up? And obviously it was getting very dusty. And so, you know, the dirt racers were used to that. And I know a lot of NASCAR fans were going, you know, what the heck is going on? Why are they going to single file restarts? But it ended up working out. That's just, you know, the rule. That's kind of what they needed to do to make it as safe and competitive, because otherwise you're going to keep having a ton of cautions, which is what happened on restarts. I mentioned Daniel Suarez coming home fourth for the Trackhouse Racing team. And honestly, it looked like he was going to win the second stage. And then that's when Logano took the lead and never looked back. But this was huge for them, because not only was it huge for Daniel, who, let's be honest, he struggled in his cup career. He was forced into the cup series when Carl Edwards retired unexpectedly. And so he had won the Xfinity championship, had done well for Joe Gibbs Racing, but I think many felt he wasn't quite ready for the next level yet. He moves into the 19 car. It never really clicks. Then he goes to Stuart Haas for a year. And that, you know, that doesn't work out. It's only a year. They make room to bring Cole Custer in. Then last year he's with Gaunt Brothers, not a very competitive team. Trackhouse starts. Justin Marks had been wanting to start a cup team. They start their team. Pitbull gets on board as an owner, and obviously the Hispanic connection there between Suarez and Pitbull, and that seemed to fit. And now, in a very short amount of time, you know, they looked competitive. And he talked about racing on the dirt and what that run meant to him.
To be honest with you, I love racing at Bristol. It's one of my favorite racetracks. But when they announced that we're going to be coming here, you know, with dirt in one of the races, I wasn't too sure about it, because I never been in dirt in my life. In Mexico, we don't have ovals in dirt, at least that I know. Honestly, I just very, very proud of my team that they brought a very fast car, and I was able to learn as I went. But it was a challenge. You know, last probably 5 days ago was my first time ever on a dirt car, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoy a lot, and I enjoy a lot as well the entire weekend. So, you know, overall, I felt that we're very close. That always, you know, bring a smile to my face. But it wasn't close enough. So we have to keep working. And now I'm excited, actually, that we're going to come back next year with another shot to race and compete for the win in Bristol on dirt.
Daniel Suarez on his fourth place finish. Yeah, that's what's crazy. And he's not the only one, but had never been in a dirt car, really had about a week of experience, and then he goes out and gets a top five leading laps. That's awesome. That's fantastic that he was able to do that. And I talk about confidence a lot in any sport. You know, if you're a team that's been struggling, like when the Predators were going through their struggles and then they go on that win streak, you know, that's a confidence builder. Somebody like Daniel, leading laps. He didn't win the race. He didn't win a stage. He didn't win anything. He finished fourth. But leading laps, can do so much for a driver because he's going around, he's hitting his marks, his spotter and his crew chief are telling him his time, saying, you're doing a good job. And in his head, he's going, I'm leading in the Cup Series. I'm leading laps in the Cup Series. This isn't a pit cycle, stay out, lead a lap, come in. This is I am leading competitive laps in the Cup Series. That will do so much for a driver. And they have resources. Trackhouse has resources. Are they at the beginning? Yes. And they're going to get this car figured out, and then they're going to throw it in the trash because the new car is going to come out. But it's all about confidence with them, and they're showing confidence in their driver by giving him this equipment, and he is building confidence in himself by running that way. So a very, very awesome day for Daniel Suarez. Finally, before we head to the break, Steve O'Donnell, Executive Vice President of NASCAR of Competition. He's the one that kind of runs all this stuff, basically. He gave his general thoughts on the weekend at Bristol.
A few days here at Bristol, I think the industry had everything thrown at it. You know, when you think of the challenge of coming into this weekend just to race on dirt, how much went into that. But then you add on the fact that we experienced flooding, hail, a day race with unbelievable sunshine, more laps with a truck in a Cup race than you'd ever put on a racetrack normally if you were conducting a dirt event. So all in all, really proud of the industry for setting this up, for getting the racing in for the race fans, knowing it was a challenge for our fans to stick around on Monday. An incredible crowd turned out here today, and we're really proud of that. Certainly learned a number of things during the race and throughout the week that we can apply as we go forward in 2022. But, you know, all in all, I'd give it a thumbs up with some things to learn. The fans had asked us for years to look at innovation around the schedule. In fact, we've been taking a task for not making some moves, and we were bold and aggressive this year. And I'm proud of the team for doing that. I'm proud of the industry for taking a chance here. And Marcus Smith and his team and what Steve Swift did for putting this track together was incredible, the amount of hours he put together. So really happy for the work he did as well.
I think that Steve O'Donnell, NASCAR, Marcus Smith, as you mentioned, Bruton Smith, Bristol Motor Speedway, SMI, they should be very pleased. They can't control the weather. You can't blame that on them. That is beyond their control. But the overall event, the racing, the product that you saw, it was a success in my mind. And, yes, they did announce after the second stage that the spring race next year would be on dirt. And what's cool about that is, hopefully, fingers crossed, that means 100,000-plus can pack that place and really take it all in. And hopefully the weather can cooperate, and I can be one of those people next year. We'll talk about the evolution of NASCAR. And you know, I've talked about these new ideas and trying new things. But I'm going to take it a step further. With Bristol on dirt again next year, with the schedule, and with the teams, with a team like Trackhouse, and what that can mean for the sport. It is Chasing Checkers presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. You can go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com to get your tickets for the Ally 400 weekend, June 17th or June 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Nashville Super Speedway, or call 1-866-RACE-TIX. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game of the Game, Nashville app. Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're also on YouTube, we're on Twitch, Twitter, all these things. You can watch the show each and every week. Chase McCabe here with you, and again, we're on every week at 9 o'clock. So right now, here in the studio, good to be in the studio again, been a while. I'm actually watching on FS1 an old race from... Is that Martinsville? Yeah, from Martinsville. Looks like, see, Dale Jr.'s in the 8. He's leading. I want to say this is, well, it's the car of tomorrow, so I want to say this is 07, 2007 at Martinsville. So pretty cool to watch some old racing and see these guys. Ryan Newman's still in the 12, so cool to see that. The evolution of NASCAR, and that's a good way to lead into it, because we saw this ugly race car with a wing and braces and the car of tomorrow. But everybody knows that the car of tomorrow was necessary. The car of tomorrow was designed to be a safer vehicle after the death of not only Dale Earnhardt, but Adam Petty, Kenny Irwin, all the others that unfortunately lost their lives in racing accidents. NASCAR was late to the party, but knew that they had to do something, and the Car of Tomorrow was the product of that something. Now, it evolved into the Gen 6. The Gen 6 had an evolution within itself. The racing got better. They had to get the right rules package, and now it's evolving into the next gen, the Gen 7, the next gen, whatever you want to call it, that is going to debut next year. It's all a part of that evolution of the sport. We've also seen this year the evolution of the schedule. They're going to markets that either they've never been to or they haven't been to in a long time, like this one, Nashville. This show is brought to you by the Nashville Super Speedway, because the Nashville Super Speedway now has a race weekend once again, and they have a Cup Series weekend for the first time in their history. That is all part of the evolution of this sport, and guys like Steve O'Donnell are a big part of that. Racing on dirt, racing the Cup Series on dirt, getting the reaction from the drivers and the fans of going, you're going to do what? What? These cars aren't set up for that. How's that going to work? What's it going to look like? It's going to be a bleep show. Like, no, nobody's going to like that. Really? I think it was pretty good last weekend, don't you? And drivers that felt that way going into it are now going, yeah, I got to admit, that was a lot of fun. I watched an interview with Carl Edwards, who's been retired for several years. He was on Race Hub. And he said, I don't watch a lot of racing now, but I had to watch that. And that looks a lot of fun. And Bobby Labonte said, well, if you got a one-off, would you? And he said, if I could get a one-off and do something like that, do something like a road course or, you know, something unique that I like with horsepower, yeah, and I probably could get that set up. Carl Edwards has a dirt racing background. I would love to see Carl Edwards race next year on Bristol dirt. But speaking of that, they did announce, as I said, that they will run on Bristol dirt next year. Steve O'Donnell, who is the executive vice president of NASCAR, was asked about, you know, what the plan is. Are they going to add the Xfinity weekend? Are they going to expand the weekend? He talked about that a little bit after the race.
Yeah, too early to tell what we would do next year in terms of what that weekend could look like, Dustin. But, you know, we never go into something thinking this will just be a one-off. You know, our hope was that this would be a success and something that we could repeat and become really a staple of the schedule going forward. So certainly a number of things we learned throughout the weekend that will apply to 2022's event weekend. Some of those things, you know, how much you race in a single day. Are there other racing series that could be part of this in terms of the late models as well? So, you know, we fully intend to be back 22 and beyond and continue to apply those learnings and put on some great races.
22 and beyond. That's the phrase that I hung on to during that. They'll figure out what series are there. I would imagine there are a few things that I would imagine are going to happen. One, it's going to move to night. It's going to be a night race. That simply is going to help with the dust, not having the sun beating down on it, drying out the racetrack. Most dirt races are at night. So I think that they will move it to night. I think the Xfinity series will be added because they're all going to be clamoring for it. They saw how much fun the trucks and the Cup boys had. And so they will be added to the weekend. So that I feel pretty confident in those two things. But the rest of the stuff will you know, come into play or will work itself out. 22 and beyond. And when you listen to Marcus Smith, the CEO of SMI, he was on the Dale Jr. Download. We'll hear from him a little bit later on Nashville, actually. But you could tell that this is more than a 1 or 2 year thing. This is something that they want to do. Now, it's very expensive because with the current setup that they have, you know, they're going to run in August like they always do on the concrete. And so they got to pull the dirt out, and now then they're going to have to put it back in. And that's millions of dollars that they have to spend. So, you know, I laugh because Dale Jr. on the show said, you know, my guess is within 5 years, you're just going to rip the concrete out and it's going to be a dirt track. You're going to have two dirt races, make it a permanent dirt track. And the reason, because the question came up, like, why not go to Eldora? Why not go to Knoxville? Why not go to an actual dirt facility? And the way that Marcus described it, that is true, is those don't have the amenities that Bristol has. And you could build a facility that's like Bristol, that is a dirt facility, but, you know, the cost there is even more than doing how they're doing it now. I do think that that's something NASCAR and these tracks need to look into, of let's build a Bristol dirt. Let's build a track that's a lot like Bristol, but is a permanent dirt facility. But you also have to see how this does beyond the next couple of years. Like, if it continues to stay popular and be a tough ticket to get, then I think that warrants doing it more. But that's a part of the evolution. That's where the sport is going. New ideas, willing to try new things. And I think that is going to be big to get more fans in, because there are several of you that are listening to this show, watching this show, that have been paying attention to the sport that you started last year during the pandemic because it was the only thing on. But you saw enough to get you hooked and to keep you. And now you're seeing, you know, what you're seeing now is great, these new ideas that they're trying. They haven't always done this. They a lot of times, for a long time, it was status quo. It was, well, it's the way we've always done it, so it's what we're going to do. It's the way Bill France did it, so that's what we're going to do. Didn't make it right. You know, you got to get, especially now, we have such short attention spans. So they had to come up with new things. That's what you're seeing now with this evolution, as I call it, of racing and in NASCAR. So speaking of next year, they asked Ricky Stenhouse Jr., what did you learn that you can apply to next year? And I thought his answer was pretty funny, because it's really nothing because of the new car.
I think that's a really good question, because we're bringing back a totally different race car next year. So, I think us teams learned a lot throughout the weekend, and what not to do and what we can do better, and drivers as well. But when you're bringing back a totally different race car, it's going to be all new. So hopefully, you know, Goodyear is able to work on a tire that we can have a little bit longer run. Our Kroger Camaro was really good on the long run today, and I didn't have the short run speed, so I needed those long runs. So hopefully, with the package that we have when we come back, we can, we can get those 75 lap, 100 lap runs, depending on what it be. But it's going to be tough. I think the track crew learned a lot with these heavy race cars and what they need to do to be better. And they adapted well, like I said, with the rain. But, those are things that are always changing with dirt racetracks. And they did a good job. And next year is going to be just as much of a toss up with a different race car.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You're going to have to learn all over again. I mean, sure, there are things you can apply, just like there are things you can apply from running a sprint car or running a a late model. But it doesn't translate completely. Now they're going to have to do it again with the new car. But the point is, they're willing to do it. They're willing to try new things and to change new things. And another thing that I took out of post-race is, whenever you try new things, the question is going to be, well, is there anything that happened with the weekend that you could apply to other places, apply to other races? And Denny Hamlin was very quick to try and shut that down.
No, I mean, pit stops has been part of NASCAR racing for a long time. I think on the dirt, absolutely leave it as is. We don't need to have competitive pit stops when it comes to dirt, but you can't keep cutting the grass, cut this, cut that, eventually you're down to dirt and you got nothing left. So you can't keep cutting the grass, and the grass is our racing and NASCAR racing. So, hopefully we can, keep things, somewhat, a little bit authentic, from the way it's been for a long time, but absolutely. I love the nimbleness of our schedule. They were able to, take us to, a Bristol dirt race. We're going Circuit of America. So a lot of different venues. That part is very, very positive, but definitely don't want to see them cut out any more competition when it comes to little stuff like pit road.
And that the question there was about the pit stops, because they didn't have live pit stops. And the reason they didn't do that, somebody asked me that on Twitter, of why they didn't have regular pit stops like you see every week. Because they didn't put dirt on pit road, but obviously there was pebbles and things that would come off the racetrack that were scattered about pit road, and it was dusty. And NASCAR didn't want to have the guys jumping over the wall, running around a race car with race cars coming down pit road and risk slipping, falling, getting hit, things like that. It was a safety issue. And I totally get it, because you don't have live pit stops in dirt racing anyway. And so the question was, well, could you see them doing that at other places? And he used the analogy. You can't keep cutting the grass. You know, pit stops are a part of the competition, and they are. You can win and lose races on pit road because of the human element. So I totally agree with him on that. Don't touch pit stops outside of a dirt weekend. Like, I'm fine with the way they did it this weekend. The race breaks, all that stuff. That's dirt racing. That's old school. But don't touch it for, you know, moving forward for the others. So I thought that was interesting. And real quick, I know I'm going way late on these segments, but that's okay. Justin Marks started Trackhouse Racing. We already talked about Daniel Suarez. And I want you to hear from Justin Marks, because we talked about that and the run and what that meant for them and what's next. And I think that this is a prime example, and what Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan are doing, bringing new teams, giving more opportunity to drivers to have more competitive teams in the sport. And Justin Marks is trying to do just that with Team Trackhouse.
It was a great day for our team. It really was. I mean, we have, you know, we believe that we're capable of doing great things in this sport, and it comes down to just trying to prepare as best we can week in and week out, making sure that we all rally behind Daniel and give him a piece of equipment capable of basically exposing his talent and his ability to the best possible level. So I think we did that yesterday. I mean, I think nobody really knew what to expect going into this race. But I know that we kind of relished in the fact that we could, you know, sort of leave our computers in the truck and kind of go racing old school and, you know, look at tires and communicate with Daniel and just kind of look at the racetrack and make changes on the fly. And I think the guys really relished that and leaned into that and enjoyed that. But it was really, really, really nice to watch. It was just nice, nice momentum for the guys and a lot of confidence, big confidence builder for the guys. And it was a special day.
Justin is scheduled to join us on next week's show, actually. But my point in playing that is I think that NASCAR has made it a point not only to bring in new fans, but to bring in new drivers, bring in new teams. You remember the old days when you had a field of 43? I want to get back to that. There's something about 43. It's Richard Petty's number. He's the greatest of all time in NASCAR. There's something about that. If you bring in more owners with more resources, and with this new car, it's going to save a lot of money with teams. Some of the innovation that they're putting into it, the idea is to save teams a ton of money, where it costs less to build a car, so you can build more cars for less. You open so many doors that way. Bring in new owners, bring in new drivers, make it where it's, you know, not the same five guys winning every week. Like, I love how this season has started with different winners every week. That's what fans want to see. So I think this is just the first step in all of this. And Justin Marks, Pitbull, Team Trackhouse, Daniel Suarez, you know, they're at the forefront, as are Denny Hamlin, Michael Jordan, and the 2311 team, and Bubba Wallace. So I hope to see even more owners and manufacturers maybe here in the near future. It's Chasing Checkers. It's all presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. You can get your tickets at NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or by calling 1-866-RACE-TIX, June 18th, 19th, and 20th, with the Ally 400 being the big one on Sunday on Father's Day. The Cup Series returning to the Nashville area for the first time since 1984. When we come back, we'll talk more about racing in Nashville and what that means. What is next? We will do that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. Speaking of the Nashville Super Speedway, the Ally 400 weekend coming up June 18th with the Rackley Roofing 200, the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series on Saturday, and the Cup Series Ally 400 on Sunday. They announced this week that Ford will be the official pace car provider of the Nashville Super Speedway. A beautiful Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 was unveiled by NASCAR Super Speedway President Eric Moses and driver Chase Briscoe. So cool to see that out at the Nashville Super Speedway, as that Ford Mustang will pace the field for that weekend. So that big announcement, and Music City Grand Prix, they have some more stuff coming up as they get closer to their race weekend in August. Basically what we're learning and talking to people last week when I was out at the Nashville Super Speedway, there's room for everybody. There is room for all sorts of racing in this city, and this city is becoming a racing hub. And that was something that when we had Darrell Waltrip on about a month or so ago, when he did the phoner before we hung out with him last week, that's what he talked about. He talked about this city becoming racing central. This is kind of a long clip, but I wanted you to hear it. DW on Nashville.
Well, that racetrack is near and dear to my heart. I love the fairgrounds. I'm excited that the mayor, one of the reasons that the mayor and I became friends was because he liked the fairgrounds and he was committed to doing something with the racetrack. He was not going to let them tear it up or get rid of it. And I was happy about that. Marcus Smith and Bruton and Jerry Caldwell, they have a vision for that racetrack. Fans clamor all the time. All they talk about is more short tracks, more road courses. Well, this year we've got more road courses, and I think eventually the schedule will have a place for the Nashville Fairgrounds to be on the schedule somewhere down the road. It's going to take a couple of years to renovate it. It hadn't had anything done to it in a long, long time. Maybe never. I can't remember anything being done to the track since it was renovated to the way it is today. So they got their work cut out for them. But I think when they get done with that, I don't know how the Super Speedway out in Lebanon. I don't know how that'll do long term. But you remember we would race at Raceway Park, which is a little half mile racetrack outside of Indianapolis.
Yep.
They had raced there on Friday night, and then the guys would run the Cup race on Sunday. I mean, I could see a number of variations of something like that, where we raced Xfinity cars and trucks maybe there on a Friday or Saturday night, and the Cup cars at the Super Speedway on Sunday, or even vice versa. But there's this market. Look, we got Indy cars coming to town, and they're going to be running through the streets of downtown Nashville this year. That's exciting. And we've got Cup cars coming to town. That's exciting. We all know, you know, I know, we all know Nashville has become a destination. People are moving in here every day, and most of them from California, by the way. But a lot of people are moving into our area, and a lot of people that move here are race fans. And I think NASCAR, Mike Helton, the president of NASCAR, he loves the Nashville market. He always has. And so we just got a lot going for us, and we just got to capitalize on all that and get the fans excited and involved, and who knows, this could be Nashville may become the hub of racing one of these days.
I think that's what NASCAR wants. You know, IndyCar clearly coming back here. You know, many forget they raced out at the Nashville Super Speedway for a long time. Now they're going to have the Grand Prix. I believe that racing wants Nashville to be a hub. I believe that race fans love it because it's like, oh, hey, I got an excuse to come to Nashville two or three times a year. Not that you really need one, but, you know, you think about it. If the fairgrounds get a race too, which they're going to have Tony Stewart's thing coming this summer in July, but if they get a Cup weekend and you have two Cup weekends, you have one at the fairgrounds, one out at the Super Speedway, I'm telling you, they're both going to be successful. And I hear people go, well, I don't know how the super speedway is going to work. It's, you know, the racing wasn't always great. The cars have changed. Technology has changed. They have the PJ1. I'm really not worried about it. I think that this current setup with the car, you're going to see good racing in June. It's far out. It's a long drive. If the show's good, it could be. I just drove 4.5 hours to Bristol, and a lot of people from Nashville did that. If the show's good, you'll drive to it. You'll find it. It doesn't matter. And sitting down with Eric Moses and that crew, they know what they're doing. They know how to put on a good show. They're going to learn a lot coming up in June, and it's going to be even better for years to come. So I'm not worried about having too much. This city, there is no such thing as having too much. And as Eric Moses told us last week, there is room for everybody.
Yeah, I think, you know, Nashville is becoming motorsports central, you know, if you will, given all the activity that'll happen this summer. And, you know, what I think is that what is good for the sport is kind of good for all of us. And I think we can all coexist. This place is growing in terms of population and people moving here from all over the country, like myself and like many people on my staff. But people also want to visit here. And so I think it might be a little different if we were a different market, a different sized market, less of a tourist destination. There might be a little more kind of, I won't say hard feelings, but people might have sharpened their elbows when you're all launching brand new events at the same time. But in a place like this where we all know we're selling this marketplace, I think there's room for everyone.
It's brilliant that they're all launching at the same time, because you're getting just your crazy race fans like me that just love, you know, anything with four wheels and a motor, that you're getting those people. You're getting the IndyCar fans. You're getting the NASCAR fans. You're getting music fans. You're getting fans that just like a party. I mean, you're getting everything. And that's what you're going to have with both of these weekends, with the Father's Day weekend with NASCAR and the Super Speedway, and then August with the Music City Grand Prix. You're getting everybody. And then if you add the fairgrounds into the mix, then you have that as well. That is going to be awesome. Real quick, Marcus Smith was on the Dale Jr. Download, and you can check that out. Dirty Mo Media puts that on. Just search for the Dale Jr. Download. And I wanted to play this because he talked about kind of the vision, what is next with the fairgrounds in that whole process.
The Fairground Speedway is right next to this new Major League Soccer stadium that's under construction currently. It's a really unique and special part of town, and it's in the community. So the venue, this is a big deal. The venue is already belongs to the people, and it's been the Nashville Fairgrounds for a long, long time, for decades. And so our vision is to restore it to the kind of venue that the community can enjoy, everything from a NASCAR weekend to a music festival, Christmas shows in the holidays, the state fair, of course, and all sorts of events. So, you know, Nashville is an event town, and that facility needs to be brought up to, you know, the standards that it needs to be today to host a lot of events. And it's not just racing. We do this at our Speedway in Las Vegas, where, you know, twice a year now we host NASCAR events, but 50 other weeks out of the year we're hosting everything from a construction expo to a music concert, car shows, you know, driverless car exhibitions, all sorts of special events there. And we think that the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway can be this events venue that complements everything that goes on in Nashville.
It's right in the middle of downtown. How, like, he just brought that up. How crazy is that? How unique is that? That it's right in the middle of downtown. And like I said, you know, it's all about destination. You know, people are going to come to this city to watch cars race through downtown for the Music City Grand Prix. They're going to come to watch the festival that's going to be around it. They have another big announcement. They have all these big announcements that they've been having. People are going to drive out to Gladeville, Tennessee, to see the Cup Series in this market for the first time, since 1984, and the show that Eric Moses and Nashville Super Speedway are going to put on. People, like I was joking earlier, you'd have three excuses to come to Nashville. You don't need an excuse to come to Nashville. And for Marcus and that crew, I mean, you just saw what they did at Bristol. They did something that nobody thought they could do and that they could pull off. And they did it. And they put dirt on the track. And they ran a very successful dirt race. If they come here, the race, you'll go to the track for a concert or for a show, you know, expo, whatever. And, oh, by the way, there's a race this weekend too. And they'll have the weekly racing. And, you know, that's another thing. Again, check that out, the Dale Jr. Download from Dirty Mo Media. Dale and his crew, Mike Davis, they do a great job with that show. And because they go into more detail on kind of the, you know, people are worried about the noise. They have things that they're going to do for that. They're going to have a better control of the schedule. You know, right now you can call. I didn't know this. Apparently you can call and you go test a car whenever you want. And so they'll have a little more control on that to try and keep the noise down for people that live over there. But they want to make it a big deal. They want to make it a destination for racing and for entertainment because Nashville is such a destination. And by the way, you know, having a state-of-the-art racetrack next to a state-of-the-art MLS facility sounds like a pretty good idea too. So I love it. I love that Marcus Smith, you know, it was an amazing eye-opening interview with him just because you can just see as he's talking, there's constantly something going through this head. Like he talked about putting a roof on Bristol. Like what? I mean, there's all these things. Wilkesboro, North Wilkesboro, you know? So I love it, and I can't wait to see the continuing evolution of Nashville and when it comes to racing. So hopefully it all happens very soon with the fairgrounds, and we know what's going to happen in June and August with the Nashville Super Speedway and the Music City Grand Prix. All right, so now that moves us into the portion of the show where we preview the weekend. And Cale Yarborough on the pole. No, I'm just kidding. Off this weekend, obviously, with the Easter holiday, as is tradition. In fact, if you remember back in the day, the Busch Series actually ran at the Nashville Super Speedway the day before Easter. And they got that weekend because it was an off weekend for Cup, and it was brilliant because guess who generally showed up? Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards. All the Cup drivers would run that weekend in the Busch Series because then they'd be off Sunday with the Cup Series, but kind of a throwback there. So we're going to do Sunday Money a little bit differently this week. All right, so usually, you know, we're obviously picking a race, but that is not the case right now because they're not going to race this weekend. So I figured we would chase, or we would pick the championship. We would see where the odds were with the championship for NASCAR. So right now the standings are as follows. Denny Hamlin is the leader, has not won a race, but six top fives out of seven starts this year. No DNFs. He's led 211 laps, has three stage wins. So he's doing well from that standpoint. Joey Logano is second. He has his one win from last week. Martin Truex Jr. with a win. Kyle Larson is fourth with a win. Brad Keselowski, no wins yet, but has been solid with three top fives. He is fifth. William Byron has that win at Homestead. He is sixth. Ryan Blaney with the win in Atlanta is seventh. Kevin Harvick, eighth. Chase Elliott, ninth. And Christopher Bell rounds out the top 10 with a win. To give you the rest of if the playoffs started today, Austin Dillon, 11th, Michael McDowell, the Daytona 500 winner, 12th, Kyle Busch, 13th, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 14th, Kurt Busch, 15th, and the 16th and final spot in the playoffs goes to the 48 and Alex Bowman. So that's where we are right now with the standings. Now the Sunday money picks. The favorite is still Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott at plus 600, the defending Cup Series champion, is the favorite to win the championship right now. But where I'm going with this, Denny Hamlin hasn't won yet, but when he does, I think they're going to come in bunches. He is plus 650. He's never won a championship. I'm not ready to say he's for sure going to win it this year because you never know what's going to happen, but I feel pretty good about him having a good shot at it. His teammate, Martin Truex Jr., I have him second, plus 700, and then Kyle Larson in his first year with Hendrick Motorsports at plus 850. He is in the best equipment that he's ever been in. He's got, obviously, a lot of confidence running with that team. He's already got a win. He should have two wins after dominating Atlanta. And then the long shot, his teammate, William Byron, plus 1,400. Now, I know he's fallen off a little bit since his win at Homestead, but I still have a lot of confidence in him, and there's a little bit of that Jeff Gordon in him that he might break through and do even more. So there you go. There's Sunday Money for this week, the championship edition with it being the off week. So whenever they have an off week, that's how we're going to do it. That is going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. It has flown by as it typically does. Appreciate you all for joining us. You can check out ChasingCheckersRadio.com, TheGameNashville.com for extra content, and follow us on Twitter at Chasing_Checkers and on Instagram at ChasingCheckersRadio. I'm Chase McCabe. We'll be back next week at 9 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game in the Game Nashville app.